We'll talk a bit about how you got into this.
Well, this marks my 40th year as a veterinarian. And about in 1980, I decided to become a holistic veterinarian, which is kind of like at the day was like witchcraft or voodoo or something like that. And one of the reasons I started moving towards livestock is I felt like as much need as there is for natural medicine for dogs and cats and horses, the animals that are suffering most in America are the ones that are locked up in jail. You know, they're in prison every day of their life. No sunlight, no exercise, eating stale food. And so it was really a breakthrough for me to work with grass-fed beef. That was the big breakthrough. Then with the pork, I just never felt good when I ate pork. For maybe 20 years, I'd eat pork. And first of all, there's no flavor unless it's got sauce on it. And it was called the other white meat. And then I realized it's how they're raised. It's what they eat. So I saw these happy pigs running around. I thought, I couldn't take my eyes off of them. They're just fascinating. And I'm going to show some movies today. And I decided today I can either show a bunch of scientific stuff, which you can learn anywhere, or let's just look at some happy pigs, you know, and see what a pig should look like. And I'm hoping today to inspire people rather than not just educate them. Education is a long process, but being inspired is why I come to these meetings. There's over 3,000 people here, and a lot of them are burnt out, they're tired, they're unhealthy from living on a farm full of chemicals. And what's happening now, and you've seen it, look at all these young people that are here. Yeah. This whole building is full of young people. And when I was a kid on the farm, you could not wait to get off the farm. You were gonna do anything, you know, play lacrosse or rugby or soccer or something to get off the farm. And as soon as a kid goes off the farm, goes to college, you can go to any small town in America and ask the city fathers, how many of your bright kids, the top 10%, come back to your hometown after college? And you know what the answer is? None. Because the only kids that stay in general have been the ones that couldn't feel like they could get a job in town, you know. And I'm not glorifying town. It was just like it was a better alternative than being a John Deere jockey. And conventional farming is boring. It's deadly boring, and it's toxic. So here we're offering something artisanal, something beautiful. You can turn a farm into the Garden of Eden with what we're doing here. Grass growing everywhere. Even in a drought, everybody else is dry. You've got organic matter, so you've got life on your farm. And frankly, I don't believe it's possible to farm biologically or organically without livestock on the farm. And what we've got is a bunch of monocrops, you know, and God hates monocrops. There's always something growing in harmony. So we want to see cattle, we want to see pigs, we want to see chickens, we want to see old McDonald's farm again, and we want to create this artisanal meat that is a premium. The farmer gets a premium, and the consumer gets the best premium of all because they're eating something that's loaded with nutrients that actually tastes amazing. And sometimes we don't even tell them how good it is for them, you know, because everybody says that. You put it in your mouth, and you're the one that's going to be the judge of like, wow. And that's what people say. When they eat a pastured pork chop, the first thing they'll say is, wow, I didn't know pork actually had flavor. And with our beef, we'll hear people say, if they're as old as maybe I am, you're not quite old enough, but they'll say, every time they'll say, wow, I remember when beef used to taste like this. When I was a kid, it actually had flavor. And taste will bring you back right back to your childhood. So that's what we're creating. We're creating these animals that the flavor from pork comes from exercise, you know, running around the farm, sunlight, and browsing, grazing, eating natural things. That's where pork flavor comes from.
So what does it take to establish a good pasture to raise pork?
How many hours do we have? The problem is we've mined our topsoil. You know, we've 100 years of farming, of extracting everything out of this rich Garden of Eden we inherited when we took it, or when the Indians gave it to us. We've ruined a lot of that natural fertility. So sometimes we have to start with the soil because, you know, if you have healthy soil, then you can have healthy plants, then you can have healthy animals, and then you'll be healthy. So it's like this big circle. So sometimes when we're talking about pigs, we're actually talking about soil. Well, there was two things they didn't teach us in vet school, soils and plants. It's kind of like we forgot that animals live on soil and they eat plants. And so that's why we need a lot of medicine, because we don't have much soil and the plants are defective, they're weak, they don't have all the secondary plant metabolites. So when you have healthy soil, that plant will be rich in plant sugar, And that plant sugar is a simple carbohydrate that a plant turns into a complex carbohydrate, then into a protein, then into a fat, then into an essential oil. And these are the things you hear about now, the resveratrols, the luteins, the lycopenes, the trochotrienols, all of these antioxidants and medicines. The plant doesn't really care about us or the animals. The plant is making it so it has resistance against UV, ultraviolet, and against aphids and leafhoppers and molds and blights and fungus. When we eat that plant or when the animals eat it, that's our medicine. They have the medicine, so you don't need vaccines, you don't need wormers, you don't need antibiotics, you don't need drugs. You've got radiantly healthy animals that have never had a needle in them.
When they get their soil healthy, and obviously that's the first step in this, and then are there certain plants that are more conducive to raising hogs?
The plants that we're looking for is a medley of plants. We don't want to have a field of alfalfa or a field of field peas or a field of corn. We want to have a lot of different varieties, and here at this event is a place like Prairie Creek Seed that has a swine pasture herbal lay. L-E-Y. That means all these herbs that grow in harmony in nature, so they're getting brassicas, they're getting legumes, they're getting salad bars, so they're getting all this. Now, we branch it out even further. Hogs love nuts. They love acorns, they love chestnuts, they love even walnuts. You ever try to break a walnut with a hammer? They can break them with their teeth. But they love nuts. They love pumpkins. After Halloween, that's one of the best foods. The seeds are actually a wormer. We're always looking for apples, cherries, pears, any kind of fruit, especially groundfall fruits. Pigs are omnivores. They're like us. They eat a little bit of everything. They love everything. And so we want them to have that variety. And to make it economical, we want to raise as much of our diet without buying corn or soybeans. I personally can't sell soybean pig or egg or milk. There's too many problems with soybeans. We definitely don't sell anything with GMO crops in it, because people now know that when you eat GMO crops, you have more arthritis, more aches and pains, you're stupider. You know, so it's like a negative spiral.
What about for the wintertime? What type of forage can they save, or what do they feed?
What's winter?
Well, we do have them once in a while in the Upper Midwest.
Yeah,
not
true.
This year, though.
Well, with snow, then they're going to be eating some stored forages. And we can take, like this year, barley didn't work very well. It didn't have much grain in it. So we just bale these huge round bales of barley. And boy, it's like going to the state fair for the pig to search around, dig around in that barley straw and find that. So we'll bale up corn stalks. We'll bale up wheat, barley, rye. We'll bale up some of these things. If we had Sudan here or sorghum, we would use that, milo. I have some pigs out on corn stubble right now. I put them out in August after it was cut, and they're getting fatter every day because there's so much out there, and I haven't had to feed them all winter.
And what about from the marketing standpoint? Do you basically have to build your own market, create your own demand for these?
Yeah, I have. I call mine Lucky Pig Farms, which I thought in the beginning was a horrible name, because they look in the freezer at all these pork chops and go, oh, I guess he wasn't so lucky, was he? And then it occurred to me, no, I've got a great opportunity to say, actually, he was very lucky. He just had one bad day. You ought to see a regular pig, what their life is like. They don't even have one good day. The last day is like the best day of their life because they're out of misery. So it worked out to be a really good name. But yeah, I like to encourage farmers to capture as much of the value chain as possible, which means you want to sell it to the guy that's going to eat it. Because if you sell a raw material, you're always going to be upside down. You're always going to be vulnerable to other markets. A feeder pig is a raw material, just like a weanling calf is a raw material. Or milk. Well, you milk off your farm. If you're bulk tanking it, you're selling a raw material. And you're vulnerable. And 18 other guys are going to make part of that value chain, not you. So if the consumer can buy it in town from you, you're going to capture maybe 95% of the entire value chain. And that's what we want. We want farmers to be marketers.
Now, if people would like more information, how do they get a hold of
you? Well, my name is Will Winter. I have a website. It's hard to remember. It's called willwinter.com. And my email's on there. I've got a discussion group for eaters that's called Traditional Foods. I've got a discussion group for pastured livestock producers. They're both Yahoo groups, and there's a button on willwinter.com to hit, and you can join our discussion groups.